What happened to the athletes caught up in the Balco doping scandal of the early 2000s? Track star Marion Jones was stripped of her 5 medals from the Sydney Olympics, pleaded guilty to lying to federal agents, and spent 6 months in prison. Sprinter Tim Montgomery, previously considered the world's fastest man, was stripped of his world record and banned from sport for 2 years. Barry Bonds' association with Balco and some suspicious physical changes have thus far kept him out of the Baseball Hall of Fame. But what happened to the man behind it all, the man who supplied performance-enhancing drugs to Marion Jones, Tim Montgomery, and countless others? He tells us his story in his own words.
My name is Victor Conti. I'm a man that has lived several lives. I'm 67 years old, and I'm a guy that's called many bad names, Dr. Frankenstein, the Saddam Hussein of sport. But we live in a society of second chances, and you can learn things from your mistakes that can actually make you a better person. Well, Balco Laboratories was established in March of 1984, and from 84 until 1992, everything that I did was completely legal. There was no sort of performance-enhancing drugs involved. Back in the early 90s, I would go down to a track meet here in the Bay Area at San Jose City College. It was called the Bruce Jenner Classic at the time. The doctor in charge of drug testing used to walk up to the shot putters and say, "Listen, I need to get a sample from somebody today. Who can give me a clean sample?" And they'd joke, say, "Get out of here, Doc. I'm 4 days off of Dianabol." You know, this was just a part of the culture. You know, collusion, corruption, positive drug test cover-ups from the very top to the very bottom. In short, it's all about the cash. And positive drug tests are simply bad for business. I met with a chemist named Patrick Arnold at the Mr. Olympia Expo in Las Vegas, and he told me that he had some what he called stuff that seemed to help with recovery. He didn't describe it at the time as an anabolic steroid. I wasn't really sure what it was, and he didn't tell me what it was, but I bought some of it from him, a little bottle, and I took it myself. I developed a method of using this, and I started giving it to some elite athletes. And this was kind of the start of my trip down the slippery slope. I felt that many athletes that I had worked with, the majority of them were already using performance-enhancing drugs, but they were buying them out of the trunks of cars and dark alleys behind gyms, and they weren't being monitored. They weren't having their blood tested and looking at liver function, kidney function, other things that could, you know, be causing adverse health effects. I became very involved with world-class sprinters. And, of course, ultimately that year in 2000, I worked with Marion Jones and went to the Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia. And, of course, Marion won 5 medals there. I met a sprinter by the name of Tim Montgomery there. To make a long story short, he went on utilizing this program, and of course, it was a year and a half or so later, but he ended up breaking the world record, so we had created the world's fastest human. As strange as this may seem, I knew that at some point they were going to come crashing in with a SWAT team. I knew this was coming. They were going through our trash, the infamous dumpster diving by Jeff Nowitzki. He didn't like Barry Bonds, and he knew that he was working with Balco. And on his own time and his own dime, on a weekly basis, he would come over and take our trash and dump it into a big black plastic garbage bag. He'd take it home first, I think, and search through it in his garage. It was about 12:15 or so. And all of a sudden, we looked out the glass window, and 5 or 6 black Buick cars came screeching up. 2 or 3 of them came inside the parking lot, and the rest of them lined up in a row around the corner. and they filed out of these cars, and they lined up single file. We could see them, and then they just crashed through the front door, screaming and yelling, FBI raid, we have a search warrant. They kept saying, does anyone have a gun? Does anyone have a gun? And it was a very, very scary moment. And then here comes ABC, CBS, NBC trucks, and I could see the satellite dishes going up. Forty of 42 Balco charges were dropped, and I pled to very simple charges. I did not testify or tell on anybody else. I accepted full consequences, so understand this is not in exchange for leniency, but that I would go to a prison camp, a club fed, as they say, for a period of 4 months. Listen, initially I was very afraid. The first day and a half I spent in kind of a dark dungeon, just like you would imagine, and I looked out the window through the bars, and there were etchings on the glass. It was very scary. It said, L.A. Meth Monster. Then at a certain point, they came and got me and drove me around to the minimum security camp that they call Club Fed. And they don't call it Club Fed for no reason. No fences, I would say maybe every couple of hundred feet around the compound. They had a stake in the ground with a white sign and black letters that simply said, out of bounds. First morning when I got up and I walked out, and they had a big billboard in the center of the compound, and it said, sports complex, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, handball, volleyball, bocce ball. What do I say? Everybody was having a lot of fun. So, listen, it's not fun to be away from your family for 4 months. You know, I think my family, when they came to visit, I certainly saw a lot of pain and suffering in their eyes. So I'm not going to say it was fun, but I can tell you that I met guys in there that didn't want to go home and would repeatedly do bad things so that they could stay in there. And when I said, well, why would you want to do that? And they said, well, because when I go home, I got to start paying rent. I got out of the camp the end of March, March 30th or 31st of 2006. And then I started doing this hypoxic training with low oxygen with athletes in September of 2008. And one of the athletes that I had worked with, Dwayne Chambers from the UK, from 2003 until 2008, he kept trying to get reinstated and they wouldn't let him. And finally, the UKA, anti-doping agency in the UK, asked him to come in and tell them everything that he knew about the use of performance-enhancing drugs. And he said, I think I know somebody who can tell you more about it than me, and that's the person that gave the drugs to me, Victor Conti. So he asked me if I would be willing to write out all the drugs that he took, the purpose of the drugs, the way they were administered, the frequency, and the dosage, so that they would have a better understanding of how to catch people that were doing similar type things. I developed training methods and equipment. Specifically, I started with low oxygen, and this is just simulated altitude training. And once I'd, you know, seen the damage that I had done not only to my family but many others involved at the elite level of sport, there was no way that I would ever do anything like that again. I met a world champion boxer named Nonito Donaire in May of 2010. At that time, not a single state commission, boxing commission, or athletic commission in the United States did any type of random testing. All they would do is collect a sample before the fight and collect a sample after the fight, and that would be the end of it. That's when I began to become a very outspoken anti-doping advocate. There was a lot of criticism of me because I was speaking out about this, and others saying that I didn't have the right to talk about this, that I'd done so much damage to sport. And so there was a lot of resistance. But now I think there's more elite fighters doing more effective testing at this point than ever before in history. We have world-class boxers that come and hold their training camps here. So we have a whole stable or family of snack fighters, and I'm kind of the snack family father. I've realized that it's virtually impossible, even if I chose to run from my past. So we have a kind of a mini museum here with photos and jerseys and hats and balls and bats. And it's kind of a cross between I call it Hall of Fame or Hall of Shame, depending upon your viewpoint. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "To be great is to be misunderstood. Speak your mind in strong terms today, though it may contradict everything you said yesterday." A lot of great people, look at Confucius, Socrates, Jesus. There's been a lot of confusion with great minds. And I think that I have been misunderstood quite a bit throughout my life. I will always have regrets about what I did to my family members. But at the same time, it's qualified me in a unique way to make a contribution to make sport a better place for the young athletes of the future.
That's Victor Conti, the man behind Balco. His current training facility is called Snack. This story was created in collaboration with Sports Illustrated's special Where Are They Now? Issue, available now on newsstands and at si.com/WATN. For more on this story, I'd suggest checking out Tim Layden's piece, "With Balco Behind Him, Victor Conti is Still Hustling and Loving Every Minute." This story was produced by our own Karen Given.